Hi, welcome back to the channel. This video is an update on the situation with Evergrande. We're starting to see quite a lot of activity with regards to what's happening to the assets in the Chinese property market, and also we're seeing some activity with regards to discussions with the bondholders for the very first time. So in this video, I'll walk you through some of the state-owned enterprises acquisitions that have taken place recently, and that's really starting to pick up pace. We'll talk about what's happening with regards to the general environment and how the government has made it much, much easier for the state-owned enterprises to be able to buy these assets. We'll talk about what's happening with regards to the bondholders who are now trying to actually take some action against Evergrande. And Evergrande have miraculously now actually made some statements to the market about their discussions on the restructuring. So we'll go through those and have a look at what's likely to happen in the short term. So before we get into all of that, if I could ask you at some point during this video to give me a thumbs up if you're enjoying the content, and also to subscribe if you haven't done so already. And as you know, with my videos, I always include chapters. So if there's a section that you're not that interested in, it's really easy to skip through it and move on to the next topic. So as you'll know, if you follow my channel, the property developers in China have built up an enormous amount of debt over the last 10 years. And the size of this debt was fueled by China's never-ending demand for property. Property has been the one area that Chinese nationals have been able to invest into without any major restrictions. And since private ownership of property has been permissible in China, it's been the one asset that every single person has wanted to invest into. And the market has gone up and up and up. So historically, it was a very safe bet. If you bought property, you would definitely make money in the long term. But recently, we've seen some big changes. The president of China introduced a common prosperity for all policy, which was aimed at improving the standard of living for the majority of people in China, and therefore cutting the wealth of the people at the top end. And one of the areas that he decided to focus on was property. So he changed the rules applying to all of the property developers and introduced what was known as the three red lines. And this was a triple test to make sure that all of these companies were not over-leveraged and getting themselves into difficulty. And as soon as those tests were introduced, a number of the large developers failed those tests, and one of the most famous was Evergrande. And since that time, we have seen restrictions in the amount of debt available to those developers, and that's caused a contraction in the amount of cash that they've had available, and therefore we've seen a real slowdown in the sector. And that's now manifesting itself in the actual market. So in China right now, we have got a massive oversupply of property. It is the exact opposite of what's happening in the whole rest of the world. And the reason we've got this is that these developers have been building enormous apartment blocks over the last 10 years, and many of them are not sold. So we've got a lot of half-built unsold properties, and the prices have started to go down, and the general population has become nervous about property. It's no longer the safe bet it once was, and they're seeing big institutions like Evergrande starting to get into difficulty. We've seen protests at Evergrande's offices and things like that. So that's where the market is right now. And the top 30 developers in China have over $2 trillion of debt outstanding right now. And as the market has fallen, their trading performance has gone through the floor also. So all of these guys are now making losses, and there is no way that they're in a position to be able to repay this debt. A lot of the large developers are state-owned entities. And a state-owned entity is essentially part of the Chinese state. So these are officially commercial entities and limited companies, but they are majority state-owned. So essentially, they're being controlled by the government, and they have access to capital, and different rules apply to those companies. So the state-owned entities are lower profile than all of the other developers. So they won't be familiar to most viewers of this channel. They're not names that you hear about because they haven't been issuing any bonds in the international markets. They've been sourcing all of their debt from Chinese lenders on a private basis. So this is essentially left pocket, right pocket. The government essentially tells the banks to lend money to the state-owned enterprises. And these state-owned enterprises will be the government's solution to the debt problem in China. Because these entities don't have any international bonds, they don't really need to declare what's going on in their balance sheets. And that means that these state-owned enterprises can use 100% debt to acquire the assets from any of the distressed developers. So the primary focus for the government is to ensure that all of these semi-built apartment buildings are completed. And to do that, all they need to do is move the ownership of the asset from people like Evergrande into the state-owned enterprises, and then it becomes part of the state. Essentially, what they're doing is nationalizing those assets through the acquisition by a state-owned enterprise. So officially, the transaction is one property developer buying assets from another property developer, which is the sort of thing that we would see going on in the rest of the world. However, when the acquirer is state-backed and essentially part of the Chinese government, then it's effectively nationalisation under a different name. So one of the reasons that the state-owned enterprises are able to borrow to buy these assets is that the government has recently changed the rules. The key test on the three red lines policy is the leverage test. So each of the developers has to declare how much debt it has and what the value of its assets are. So each of the developers has to have a liability to asset ratio of less than 70%, a net gearing ratio of less than 100%, and a cash to short-term debt ratio of more than 1x. And as I mentioned earlier, the problem with the three red lines test was that some of the major developers, including Evergrande, failed these tests immediately. So they went into official government default in China as soon as this new policy was brought in. And if this policy was applied to all entities, then there would be no way out for the Chinese property market, because every one of these property developers is living on the edge, and there is no way that they would be able to take on more debt to be able to buy assets from one of the other distressed developers. However, the changes to the policy brought in recently have now made it possible for the state-owned entities to be able to borrow to buy these assets. And the reason for that is that the government has now changed the policy so that any debt taken on to acquire assets by a state-backed enterprise is excluded from the tests. So that has given these entities carte blanche to be able to buy as much as they like from all of the distressed developers. So we could see 100% of all assets being moved from the distressed developers to the state-owned entities without any issues arising on the three red lines test. So why has the government done this? Well, the reason behind it is they want to cherry pick all of the assets that have any value or have any social value. So in terms of actual value, if there is some profit to be made from any of these assets, then obviously that's attractive to the state-owned entities because they can select the most attractive assets that are going to generate some cash and profit for them. But the other factor relates to the common prosperity for all. There are a lot of buyers of these apartments in China who've paid large deposits, anything up to 100%. So that's not really a deposit, that's actually a pre-sale. But there are a lot of people who've given over large amounts of money to these developers and they haven't been given their apartment because it's unfinished. So it's reported that Evergrande has 1.6 million customers who have paid deposits on their apartments and they still haven't built them. So the government wants to take ownership of all of those apartment buildings to complete the build and to give those apartments to all of those people who've paid money for them. So even if those apartments won't make a profit, the government is instructing the state-owned enterprises to buy them anyway because there is a social reason for doing so. It will cause a lot of unrest in China if those people lose all their money. So it's really important to the government to make sure that everything gets completed and those people are able to go and take ownership of those properties. In addition to changing the three red lines, the government has also made it easier for the state-owned enterprises to access capital because they've instructed all of the banks to make it easier to lend to those entities. And they've also relaxed the rules on asset-backed securities. So these are essentially bonds in the Chinese market. So what they've done is they've told the lenders to give more money, And they've also told the investors in bonds to buy more of those assets. So essentially, they have provided the funding for the state-owned enterprises. They've changed the rules for the state-owned enterprises. So now we've got a structure in place where all of the assets for the distressed developers can easily be moved into national ownership. Over the last week or so, we have seen 6 deals announced confirming that assets have been transferred from distressed developers to the state-owned enterprises with a total value of $4.7 billion. The largest of these was a $3.2 billion disposal by Sunac, which sold assets to Beijing Capital and Huafa Group. Shimao and Agile sold a joint venture commercial land development to Chinese Overseas Land for $585 million. China Resources Land bought the property services arm of Yuzhou and Jiangsu for $528 million. Agile sold another investment in a mixed-use development for $291 million. And Shimao sold some commercial land in Shanghai for $170 million. So I think we're seeing here the first wave of assets being nationalized in China. And this is likely to pick up a lot of pace over the next 3 to 6 months. I think we will see the vast majority of assets moving from the distressed guys over to the state entities. And the reason for this is that the government wants to remove anything of any value out of the property development companies before any of the bondholders are able to take action against these companies. Over the last week or so, there's been quite a lot of activity on the Evergrande board. 2 of the existing directors were removed, and they were replaced by the chairman of a state-owned entity, so one of these state-backed businesses that is acquiring all of the assets, and also the chairman of Evergrande Electric Vehicles. Now, these changes are in addition to the changes that we saw in December when the Risk Management Committee was appointed. So we've now got a situation where there are 9 people on the board of Evergrande. 6 of them are from the Risk Management Committee, and all of those people are government officials. So essentially, they're representing the government, but controlling Evergrande. Of the other 3 members, one of them is also from a state-owned enterprise, and the other is the chairman of Evergrande Electric Vehicles. And what this tells us is that Evergrande has been lined up for a breakup. We will see all of the assets of Evergrande being moved out of the company into the state-owned enterprises, and that process is going to be managed by the new board appointment and also the risk management guys. And it's now clear that the government sees the future of the Evergrande name in electric vehicles. So the chairman has now been brought across from the electric vehicles business, and he will be made head of Evergrande at some point, and the business will just be left as an electric vehicle company with very little assets. Now, we recently saw some activity from the bondholder group, and they were threatening to take legal action against Evergrande. Previously, they'd appointed the investment bank Moelis and the law firm Kirkland & Ellis to represent them in negotiations, but no negotiations ever took place and no discussions were had. And so they've recently appointed Harneys, who are a law firm that deal with restructurings and liquidation. And they are now threatening to take legal action to try and force Evergrande into some sort of liquidation event. Now, that has had the desired effect, and Evergrande have now responded to this action. And they initially came out and asked for more time, which seems quite amusing, seeing as they've had months and months and months to do something about this. But they said that they were working on a plan and that they needed more time to deliver this. However, we now believe that a conference call has now been set up for the 26th of January, and that Evergrande are going to present their initial ideas on what they intend to do to the bondholder group. So I will let you know as soon as there is any news coming out from that call. As soon as we hear any form of information about what the idea is, then I will update you. My view on this situation is that I think it's likely that Evergrande will delay things, that they will stall, they will ask for time to go away and come up with a proposal. And during that time, it's likely that we will see more assets moving from Evergrande to the state-owned enterprises. And by the time Evergrande come back to the table, we might find that all of the valuable assets have been nationalized and there is very little left for the bondholders. But whatever happens, it's going to be fascinating to see what proposal is tabled. So the summary and conclusion today is that we are now seeing the plan that the government has put in place being effected. We are seeing assets being transferred from the distressed developers to the state-owned enterprises. And that is likely to pick up pace over the next few months. I think we will see all of the valuable assets disappearing into state ownership, and the companies that the bondholders have provided capital to will be left with very little in them. There is some talk in the market right now that any overseas assets that these companies have may be handed over to the bondholders. So that could be a good way of all of the Chinese developers exiting from their overseas developments. And it'll leave the bondholders with very little in terms of value. I posted a video some time ago about Oceanwide, who had a major development in America that they walked away from. And that development has no value whatsoever in it. But the good thing is that we are now seeing some action. Things are starting to happen. If all of these assets are nationalized, then it doesn't remove the problem. We've still got an issue that all of the bondholders are going to lose their money. So we will see a black hole in the international finance markets. And we've still got the problem in China of all of this debt. The government is taking over the assets, but it's not bailing out these developers. It's not giving them capital to keep trading. The government may well nationalize all of these assets, but there's still an issue with regards to the falling property market and the lack of confidence and the change of mentality amongst all of the buyers. And as property is over 25% of China's GDP, this doesn't solve their problem. They're still coming up against a major issue in the next 3 to 6 months. They're just transferring the problem from international bondholders and banks to the state. So I'll keep you posted on any further news and developments. If you've liked what I've said today, then please give me a thumbs up and don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already.